Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 239 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm really excited to bring you my interview with Jess Pryles from Hardcore Carnivore, as well as She's a Brand Unto Herself. It's been 3 years since we last spoke, and I'll put in a link to our interview below, but so much has happened. It was the early days of her book. She only had the Hardcore Black seasoning at the time. Now it's expanded so much. So we get into a lot of stuff on this, and we also get into the fact that she's been married for a year. There's been a lot of growth in the last 3 years since we spoke. So we go over everything in her product line, everything that she's doing. We go into hunting. First off, I'll just say, Jess Pryles is a badass. And if you didn't think so, after listening to this, you'll know that she's a badass. And it's pretty incredible. And her knowledge and her enthusiasm for meat and grilling and smoking and hunting, it's boundless, and meat science. And so she's going back to school for that. So we talk all about those things. If you are watching this on the YouTube side, there's about 10 minutes or so, 10, 12 minutes that's additional that'll be on the podcast version. It'll be at the beginning of that. You're not missing out if you just watch the YouTube, but there's a lot more that's on the podcast side. The Wi-Fi connection was kind of weird visually, not audio, but visually for that. So I wanted to make two versions. So YouTube, a little shorter. Podcast longer. I'll have links to all that below. I can't thank Jess enough for taking the time to share everything that she's been doing for the last 3 years. I know you guys are really going to enjoy this. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Centex Smokers. The easiest way to get a hold of them is on Instagram. It's at Centex_smokers. That's Centex_smokers. Centex Central Texas Smokers. They're out of Luling. It's Michael Johnson. He's been welding since he was 5 years old. He has an intimate knowledge of welding and technique and how to do things right. It's old school craftsmanship with new school technique. And he's building pits. His first pit was for Ronnie Killen. Then he did one for Mo Kaysen, which is just a beautiful, beautiful pit. He just finished another one for Ronnie Killen. And he's got more in the horizon. His lead time right now is 4 to 5 months, but you got to jump on that because his lead time will go out to a year very, very soon because he is that good at what he does. So check him out again at Centex Smokers. That's at Centex_smokers. And the show is brought to you also by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com, where you can find out all the information about the company, get all their products, but you could also visit them at their physical location in Dripping Springs, go to Alice's Restaurant, which is a barbecue and live fire restaurant. You could try all their spirits, try new stuff they're doing, try beer that they do, wine that they do. It's a really cool facility, great people, great product, treatyoakdistilling.com. And if you're digging these, please subscribe, that way you don't miss out. I'm doing 2 to 3 of these per week. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with write-ups, links to all the podcasts, YouTube stuff, crazy lists, got some really cool stuff coming up on that. Then I also have a new website I'm launching very soon, so check back for that. But at the end, stay safe. Stay as sane as possible and support local restaurants. Support your local barbecue joint. They need you now more than ever. And now that potentially there might be no stimulus for them at all, they need your help. Buy a gift card, do to go, take out, dine in if it's possible. But they definitely need your help. But also, have yourself a good week. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Likewise. I can't believe it's been so long.
Yeah, as we were talking off air, it's 3 years, which is... that it's time goes by rather fast, and a lot has happened since we've talked. I don't even know where to start. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you got married.
I did. I found myself a Texan. He asked, I said yes, and it went from there.
Sounds simple enough, right?
Yeah.
How long have you lived in Texas now?
It's been 5 years. It was 5 years in April. So it feels like much longer, but at the same time, when I stop and look back at everything, it's like, wow, 5 years has flown by. So,
well, if 3 years have flown by since I've seen you, I didn't realize. I thought you had been there a little bit longer, but I think you had been going back and forth, right?
I had been traveling prior to that for nearly 7 years back and forth. So it's been a long time coming.
How long has it been? Have you had a chance since the pandemic to go back to Australia? Are you even allowed to go?
No, it's closed. So I was there in November for an event in just outside of Perth, which is on West Coast. Mm-hmm. And then... it's all closed down. So all my family is still there, but they can't leave. You can't get in. International flights are toast. We're just waiting patiently.
It might not be till next year, sadly.
Yeah, at least we have, you know, digital ways to communicate.
Yeah, I know. I was telling someone that if we didn't have FaceTime and Zoom and Skype and Netflix and all these things. Imagine like really what it would be like for everyone.
Right? Looking at one of those horrible BuzzFeed lists, you know, where they're like, oh, millennials don't know what this is. And one of them was a car window manual, you know,
Oh.
roller. And I'm like, oh God, are you serious right now? Okay. This is, yep. So I just imagine like this generation, you know, if this happened even 20 years ago, how bored everyone would be, but.
Yeah, it probably would have spread like crazy. Like, no, everyone would have been, it would have spread a lot worse. Like, imagine how, yeah. But also too, yeah, it's funny because I think I did say to my nephew one time, he rolled the window up and he didn't know. He's like, turn it up. He's like, you turn up the window. I'm like, okay. He
Okay.
had no
Yep.
concept of it. So let's let so since we talked last time, you only had one seasoning. I kind of want to go over all your products, even though this isn't like an advertisement for your products, but I want to go over that as well as there's a bunch of different things that you have going on now. So let's start off with your product wise. Your product, it's grown. Your list of products has grown.
Yeah, I'm super proud of them. So it's not really an advertisement as much as like, can
Yeah,
you
no.
believe what's happened when I first talked to you? I had one product, which was Hardcore Carnivore Black Seasoning, and I'd come out with it just because, in the same way as I was releasing the cookbook or selling t-shirts, it was a way that I could share what I think seasoning should taste like with people. Because it's really quite difficult when there's no restaurant point for people to go and eat your food at, even though they're trying your recipes, for people to really interact with you like that. So that was my concept for the black. And it's now the best-selling activated charcoal seasoning in the world,
That's awesome.
which is
Congratulations.
amazing. So
Wow, that's amazing.
we've spawned a lot of inspired buys, but obviously, you know, there's something to be said for the one that tastes that good. And then over the years, I slowly added to the line. So it was the same concept as the black seasoning, which is I just really like the way this tastes, and I want you to taste it. Not I'm strategizing about what we should bring to market or anything, because it wasn't even a company. It was a company at that time, but it wasn't, you know, what it is now. So then we added in the red, which is the same flavor profile as black, but just for pork and chicken, because people were using the black, which is jet black in color, as you know, on pork ribs, and they would just look cremated. So we came out with a red. Then we came out with Amplify, which is, I call it the mega savory flavor dust. Made with chicken fat powder and other umami flavors, and it just kind of goes with and on everything. Then we came out with camo for game and lamb, but I used a lot on pork. People like to be told what to use things on. They really feel uncomfortable like going outside of the square.
It's
Like
true. That's very
super
true.
people do like to experiment, but most folks like to be able to read on the bottle right what you intend it for. And then our most recent one is Michelada, which is a chili lime that is not too spicy. It's got real lime juice in it. Now, I know this sounds like an ad, but I'm so proud of them
No, I want
because.
to know, and it's important. If you don't say it and people haven't checked out your website or seen it, how would they know?
We're really proud of it because we, you know, I use the more expensive stuff. It's like anything, you know, from, you know, buy cheap bed sheets and you'll be replacing them within a year kind of
Yes,
thing, you know,
cheap
cheap
shoes.
t-shirts or whatever. Yeah, so good ingredients cost a little more, but I feel like in the same way as most folks understand that a prime steak is worth it for certain reasons. So very, very proud of that line. And then we've started to add it in a few accessories as well. So we've got the barbecue peach paper. I was one of the first people to kind of write about that and why it is what it is. And then we've got some grilling gloves. I'm just trying to add in some thoughtful accessories that make it like a really cool line altogether, and it's stuff that I would use more than anything.
Yeah, and I noticed I just recently talked to, I haven't published it yet, with M. Brady Clark, but Brady Clark, and he
Yeah.
didn't you guys have done a lot of stuff together, but also with that
Yeah, he's my
Pitmaster
guy.
notebook. Oh, he's such a great guy.
Brady does most of my design projects, and he and I work really closely together. So I would come to him and say, look, this is the concept for this Pitmaster logbook. I'd found this company that I'd partnered with that make things on, it's called stone paper. It's literally paper made out of limestone.
Oh, wow.
So it's bloodproof and sweatproof and very barbecue, you know, appropriate. And I said, look, I want to log it, but I want to log it because I know that it's every little detail that changes from cook to cook. Like, I want a section for everything in there. So he and I discussed the kind of sections that should be in there, and then he went away like a genius and actually laid it out into a layout. So we have the Pitmaster logbook, and the idea for me for that item was, if you can get your grandma's recipe book, you know, so many of us have that handed down and it's in a little notebook. It should be the same for the outdoor cooking space as well. And so it's not just for you to get better about your recipes because you can micro detail what you change between each cook, but it's also built to last a lifetime and then hand that down.
That would be so great.
Like a lovely journal.
Yeah, that's an homage to what you were doing. That's a really, really smart idea. And it's not a giant book. It's not something that's... It makes sense for taking outside.
No, notebook size.
And then the gloves and everything else is that. And then you also have tools, right? Like all those tools, like you had mentioned. But let's just go over really quick what those tools are.
Well, some of them are products that I just really like working with. Like we're about to introduce I have some Gerber knives.
Gerber,
on
I was gonna say some stuff with Gerber.
I think are great. But we're about to introduce an Epdick boning knife that'll have Hardcore Carnivore.
That's
it's
smart.
Like a collab on it because Epdick. A lot of people don't realize. Like most people have just heard of Victorinox, but Epdick is the brand the butchers use, and I've been using it for a while in my demos, and it holds an edge beautifully. So I want to bring all of these products that I know work really well in the meat world. Those are our big things. I'm trying to always look at new projects and new items that'll fit into that line well. Things that can say, while you're on the website buying the seasoning, which is the first and foremost, you might be like, I haven't seen that before. And it's basically a really carefully curated line instead of just, here's our name on a charcoal basket.
Somebody came and I just slapped it on. No, it is very well thought out. And I watched it evolve from afar. So it was nice to see they're all placed. They're not just these random things. And you're not going to stand behind something unless you're using it yourself and using it for videos and for guides.
Right.
How has it been with the book? Because the book was just coming out too.
Yes. And now the book's over 3 years old. You know, it came out in Australia a year before it came out in the US. Mm-hmm. It's in its fourth or fifth printing in both countries, which is phenomenal. And I love that the book is called Hardcore Carnivore. It's a cookbook. There's over 100 recipes in there. There's a lot of stuff in terms of technique as well and just understanding basic principles to make you a better meat cook. Mm-hmm. But the whole book is meat cook. It's not, and it never has been, advertised as a grilling or barbecue book. There's everything from frying to pan searing mm-hmm. to braising to smoking. But that's actually been my real passion and my shift over the last several years is that I'm a meat cook. I don't like being limited to just smoking or just barbecue. I love live fire cooking. And in fact, grilling is something that I'm probably even more passionate about because it's so dynamic. It's so interesting. But I'm a meat person, you know? So in the winter, if I want to braise some short ribs in the oven, I'm not going to feel bad about it because it wasn't in the smoker, you know?
You
I think
you
that there's a lot of smoke shaming going on.
I know the word oven is such like a faux pas. Like people don't want to even say the word, but if you have to, if you have no choice. And if also too, there's a lot of, it's very versatile.
It is. And it's just different. It's kind of like if you truly love food and you're really here because you love exploring new ingredients and new flavors, then you want multiple tools at your disposal. Sometimes you want a smoker. Sometimes you don't want smoke on everything. Mm-hmm. So for example, I like my steaks grilled. I really don't like smoked steaks. I just don't like that interruption into that clean beef flavor for me personally. So, you know, I think there's room to use all your tools.
So do you think that I'm sure this is in the back of your mind, you're creating another cookbook, right? You're creating another book, right?
It's currently in the back of my mind. My publisher has been asking for one. But it's like everything that I do, it has to make sense. It's not just because I have a checkbook in front of me that I want to do it. I want to come out with something that I'll be proud of 3 years later, like the original book. Because, you know, sometimes even if you're looking on social media and you see a photo you posted 4 years ago and you're like, that book's in print forever. Someone's going to own it forever. So it better be it better be useful and it better speak to what you want it to. So there's cogs turning back here.
And how, and why wouldn't they? But that makes sense. What is, we had talked about offline, and I've seen it on your post recently, JFK. It's not John F. Kennedy, right?
JKF.
Yes. So then obviously it's not at all. You know, it shows how tired I was last time. Just keep
it's
you
fine,
flipping. Just keep, yeah, so the K, the Kennedy would be tough. Yeah, just keep flipping is tough, yes.
It's a mistake that most people make. We're used to seeing JFK more than JKF. And unfortunately for me, JKF also shares a, like, very, like, soft core Taiwanese weird.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, if you click on the hashtag, just don't be scared. We're going to take it over with heat, but right now it's something else that's super weird. So the point of JKF is it stands for just keep flipping.
Yes, exactly.
And it seems so crazy easy, and I'm certainly not the first person to come up with this. I'm pretty sure it was Caveman. I know chefs like Heston Blumenthal have been promoting it for a while now. But something happened with me. When I learned to cook, it was all about the reverse sear, which is basically – people think reverse sear is only one style, but reverse sear is basically any low and slow cooking and then any high finish. So reverse sear could be a sous vide and then a cast iron sear. It could be indirect grilling, high grilling finish. It could be smoking to start and cast iron sear or grill sear to finish. Just any low and then high heat application. And the idea is that you get that perfect, perfect coast-to-coast doneness all the way through because you're going so slowly. So you're being really cautious with that slow cook. And then you just really, really quick high sear. So it took over because it was a way that a lot of people could get over their fear of buying and cooking expensive steaks at home. Because the biggest hurdle for most folks is just, I don't want to ruin it. I hear that a lot from the meat producers that I work with. That was reverse sear. The problem is because you're going so slow, it averages 1 to 2 hours and it has to be a thick steak. So it has to be at least an inch and a half thick. So it takes 2 hours to cook a steak for dinner, but it's infallible. So it's a great way to start. But then I started naturally finding myself just wanting to build these super hot fires. So on my grill, I would dump the charcoal chimney and instead of spreading it out, I would just keep it all concentrated and I would always have like this super hot zone and this not so hot zone. And I was also starting, you know, to preach in my classes that, you know, the biggest mistake that people made, and I've certainly made it in the past as well, because you just don't realize, is that you're just not getting your pans hot enough when you're on a domestic stove, because our gas burners aren't even as hot as they are in restaurants.
That's true.
We don't have the exhaust systems that they have, so we're not prepared to smoke ourselves out of house and home. And even if you think, like, you can get a cast iron pan up to 350 degrees, and you're like, ooh, and it might be starting to smoke, it's going to, like, collapse in temperature as soon as you put the heat in there. And it's not hot enough. So the whole concept of JKF is just keep flipping, that if you have a high enough heat source, be it grill or pan, you should be able to rotate every 30 seconds or so. And that first flip looks really underwhelming. But when you keep going, you build this incredible crust, because every time that it hits, you know, the flame or the pan, you're rendering, you're searing, you're getting there. And because you keep moving it, you don't get that edging all the way through as if you left it to form a crust. And it works every time. And the big thing is that your steak's ready in 15 minutes instead of 2 hours. And for me, I nearly feel like reverse sear has caused people to lose the art of grilling. That it's so infallible and so easy. And I think it's also responsible for why ceramics are really, really popular, because they've been able to get hot. So you can do a sear, even with these, you know, these pellet grills that are out, and people are having to put cast iron in them because they're, I have a pellet grill, they're very convenient, but they're not grills.
Yes.
Like, you can do the same thing in your oven. You can put cast iron in your oven and crank it to 500 degrees and it's going to be the exact same thing, right? So I feel like people have lost the art of cooking over flame in particular and over charcoal. And if you understand the principle of just keeping it moving, just keep flipping, just keep flipping, just keep flipping, it works on any size steak, from a thin skirt steak, and that's what I did in that video, you know, from a thin steak to a thick sirloin steak, it just works. And I'm starting to see a lot of people tag me in their posts where they're like, oh, I've tried this method, which is funny to me because it's like not a new thing. It's been around forever and a day, but it's nice that people are reconsidering it and tagging me in it. So,
well, because I think that people have gotten so into the reverse sear that they're forgetting, like you said, that this is a way to cook, and it has been around since the cave. That's what every dad would do, or I guess if the dad would be drinking, wouldn't pay attention, and he wouldn't continue to flip. But I think it's a concept that it has been lost.
And I think that for a lot of people, like I said, if you have one of those ceramics, and I think this is why reverse sear got so popular, you can get a great crust in just a minute because your grill is at 700 degrees, which is outrageously hot. But for most folks cooking over a kettle style or a PK or whatever, your grill really doesn't get that hot. And when you only have 1 minute to do that sear, the other thing that I was seeing a lot with reverse sear was a perfectly cooked inner steak, but not always like that lovely crusty Maillard that we look for on the outside. It was just kind of like different color. Like we were so scared to overcook it that we weren't getting the best of both worlds, which is a perfect steak and the perfect sear.
That's such a smart idea. It has been taking off for you, right? You're getting a great reaction.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of people tagged trying this out. Oh my God, it works. And the funniest thing is so many like backup comments of, my wife was thrilled that dinner was ready in 15 minutes, or I can't believe how easy this is. Like, you can still use reverse sear, but it's like, just, you're cooking on a Wednesday night. Just cook your damn steak and be done with it and enjoy it, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't make a procedure out of it. It doesn't need to be that way.
For people that want to see this, this doesn't reside on your website. This would reside on your Instagram, right?
It is. I'm about to put it up on my website because I realize there's a big gaping hole where people are pretty looking for a JKF that's not on there. So I've uploaded a video that's on my YouTube, my IGTV, and my Facebook page. And I constantly try and refer to it in all my social media posts, too. But I'm about to upload a formal article explaining the concept and everything that we've talked about so that if everyone's looking at what's everyone talking about with this JKF, they can at least find a source to go to. And that'll be at jessprowles.com.
Also, too, you seem to – and were you cooking game or were you hunting at all – prior to your move to Texas?
No, I wasn't. I started hunting when I moved to Texas, and there is hunting in Australia. I just didn't know anyone who did. It's certainly not as prevalent as it is here. It was just such a part of Texan lifestyle, and a big deal to me when I moved was kind of experiencing all things Texan. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect was, if you're going to be a meat advocate, I think there comes a point where, like, I'd already been in slaughterhouses at the kill line, and now it was time to take the next step. And I've evolved into the type of hunter where it really is all about the meat for me. I don't go after exotics and I don't go after trophies. Yeah. Like, I'm happier taking a doe than a buck because it's easier for me to process because I process all my own venison myself. But I love it. I just look forward to it. I look forward to being in the outdoors, and I just got back from dove hunting this weekend. And
what is it? It's, you weren't the only one. There's a lot of people I saw that were, I guess, done
dove hunting. Opening weekend.
It just started. What is that like? What's that experience like?
It's really, really hard. I find it really hard. Because you can, even if you're pretty good at shooting skeet, they come out of nowhere. So my husband is like the dove slayer. He's amazing. He can just see it and go, and he dropped to one knee and he's like firing him out of the sky. It's white wing. We shoot white wing dove, morning dove, and you can shoot a type called Eurasian dove too. And the seasons are quite limited on some of those species. And you stand out in the field. The fields are strategic to where there's sunflowers or some kind of feed for that animal to be flying towards.
Okay.
And just pick them out of the sky, and it sounds easy, and it's really hard.
Do you have to like rustle up the foliage to make them fly, or do they just come out of the?
So they're not like, so quail is probably what you're thinking of, the ground dwelling birds, and the doves are naturally flying in. So you go out in the field at the times that they would be coming in to feed. So you're out there about 3 o'clock when they're headed to those fields near you.
Okay. That's so naive. I have no idea.
No, but, I mean, you just think about their eating habits, right?
Yeah, so that makes sense. Makes complete sense.
And they're just flying overhead. And then when they're finished, you can get them flying back. And it's pretty amazing. It's quite delicious. It's very challenging, but you get to be outdoors and, you know, in the sun and having fun and just you know, I grew up in a suburban city. Mm-hmm. So the idea of standing in this Texas field, especially now during COVID, you know, it's very social distance because you don't want to be near any other hunters. But I think that there's few opportunities for us who live in cities and have just been kind of confined to our houses. It nearly feels like, you know, this incredible breath of fresh air, literally, to just be out there and with space. And so it was really lovely. And Texas has a 15 bird per day limit per person.
Okay.
And with dove, you generally just take the breast because the rest of the bird's generally too small. Some people do pluck the whole thing. Good for them, because that's a chore. But
yeah, is it you're shooting with pellets? So there's pellets, right?
You're shooting with shots.
There's pellets in the meat.
Correct. Right? Generally, there's actually not. You see it. You can see it because you can obviously see the bruising. But I would say the majority out of all the birds I cleaned this weekend, maybe one or two had the breast meat was damaged.
I'm going to get a lot of feedback from hunters. They'll be like, "What? You don't know any? I don't know a whole lot about, like, I've never been to a barbecue competition, nor have I ever been hunting. But I'm fascinated by both, more so hunting. But I'm just, so that's why. And then, so then buck hunting, like, so then you go out and kill does. Is that something you've done? Do you do that? You don't do that with bow and arrow, do you?
I don't personally. There are people who do. They love archery because it's like, you have to be quieter. You have to be more skilled. You have to go in and, you know, hone your bow practice and nail it. I rifle hunt because my biggest fear is injuring an animal without downing it.
No, I know.
And you have to spend so much time getting good at archery to actually knock an animal down. And I feel like there's, you know, there are some amazing bow hunters, but I also feel like there's some people who just want to get into it that are maybe doing some shots where you see the animal just run off with an arrow in it. That can obviously happen with bullets too. But I hunt with a rifle. I hunt with a 6.5 Creedmoor Browning, and because I'm there for the meat. So it's not about, you know, I love sitting in a deer blind. Here's the thing. We hunt in blinds in Texas. There are people who go out and stalk, you know, people who are watching this in, you know, the North Pacific Northwest might be like, oh, you hunt in blinds? Ew. Like, that's like the pellet grill version of barbecue, right? Because they want to go out into the wilderness and go out into public land and stalk and track and whatever. It's very common to hunt in off feeders in blinds. So there's a feeder set up about 100 yards from where your blind is. But what I love it is, you know, it doesn't have to be one of those prison watchtower blinds. It can just be four pieces of plywood that you're sitting in. But you go in before sunrise and you're death quiet and you get to just watch the sunrise without any sound. And you're so focused on watching what's coming out that you start getting in tune with like every shadow. It's just so peaceful. Wow. So there's a catharsis to it as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, it sounds good for the soul. And you're processing all the meat. You're not just going there just as sport. It's actually you're using the meat now. Do you process that at your house, or do you have a place that you go to process? Like, do you have a deer processing place? Or?
So most hunters, especially if you're taking a lot. So if you're going out every week, you may not process it yourself. And it's very common to find a processing place where you generally gut the deer in the field because you've got to get that out to bring the temperature down. And then you can drop the whole thing at the processor. I process myself. So I get it down into quarters. So you gut it, take the back straps out, quarter it, and put all that in an ice chest. And actually in Texas, you have to keep like proof of sex of animal until you get it to your final destination. So you'll usually take the head and the cape, which is basically the skin all together, in a separate little trash bag. And you know, I've always wondered when I get home and dump that in the trash, like, I wonder which poor like trash guy is gonna accidentally open this one day. Then when I get it home, I've basically got these quarters that I can finer process. So I just do that at home because it's just like having, you know, like a deer ham. It looks like just a big ham.
Interesting. No, and when I lived in Texas for a year, I noticed all this deer processing places, and in California, that's such a foreign concept. And so I didn't know. So that you've explained so much more than I ever thought I'd know. So thank you just for this. And no, it's been informative. I wanted to just do like a catch up because it's so much time has gone by, and I wanted to see how are you coping though with COVID right now? Are you how do you feel mentally? Do you feel, because you went out hunting, so is that a nice break? And is that?
Oh yeah. I mean, I do feel like we're all settled into a weird new normal. Like it's been so long now that it just is what it is. I miss terribly my husband and I, we just had our first wedding anniversary. So we went out for dinner for the first time since March. Like we've been getting takeout, but this is the first time we're like, should we do it? If other people are doing it, should we do it? And it was so nice. It was like, oh my God, I missed this. And I didn't even think about it. So we are very, very blessed to have a business that thrived during COVID because, you know, we're selling something that involves people cooking at home. But I know for myself, you know, people are more, there's a little bit more engagement, not as much as when it first hit and everyone was like, oh God, tell me what to do. What, how can I stock my pantry?
I've never cooked before.
Right. Like, so it, but people are still, you know, there's a lot more home cooking happening and therefore people looking for advice and you settle into a new normal and we're ready for life to be going back to normal with travel and what have you, but it makes me happier than ever that I live in this state because, you know, you can drive so many places and to so much wilderness and to so many distance locations, so you can still find little breaks within all this.
I guess you can in California, but we're still pretty locked down here and they're just opening up. Like I my hair is a little crazy. I haven't had haircut since January and it's like, it's wild, but it's, they're just opening up 25% for hair salons and barbers and people are cutting outside. But yesterday was 121 here in Woodland Hills. Woodland Hills was trending on Twitter because of, it was hotter than Death Valley or it was like hotter than Palm Springs. Here, yes, rolling blackouts and wonderful stuff. But anyways, well, let's because when your dog, what's your dog's name?
Ancho, and I'm gonna let her back in. She's a very spoiled little princess. She came with me from Australia, and she has multiple beds in every room of the house. And it's like, I'll go out now. I'll come in now. Thanks.
I love how dogs do that. But you know what? They're so important. It's and also too, like, you know, she's part of your companion during this COVID thing. She's part of the trio.
She's an emotional support animal, 100%.
How can they get a hold of all everything that you're doing?
So there's two kind of websites associated with me. One is jesspriles.com, which is my site where you'll find all sorts of free recipes, guides as well, like a guide to dry aging. I do post my videos on there as well, and all the social medias. And then there's hardcorecarnivore.com, and that's where you'll find the seasonings and all the tools and paper and notebook, Pitmaster logbook that we talked about. That's all there. There are some extra recipes there too. And you can also get the stuff on Amazon too, but and a lot of fabulous retailers throughout the country. There's a deal locator on the Hardcore Carnivore site, so you can check where your closest store is too.
And on Facebook, you have a Hardcore Carnivore site. You have an actual page
that's
specific to that.
Hardcore Carnivore on Instagram, Hardcore Carnivore on Facebook, because there are people who, and I'm fine with it, they have no idea who I am or that I'm related to the seasoning. I'm like, that's cool, as long as you're enjoying it, go for it.
Is there anything coming out this year?
No, not really. We're just focused on growth right now. I've got a few things in the pipeline, but it's just such a messed up year that it's really not the year to try and risk things. So we're being a little more conservative this year.
Do you have all your products online in stock? Is there anything sold out that people should know, like, or low quantities that they need to jump on?
Not really. We have most of everything. Sometimes there's a big run on things that puts us out for a little bit, but we usually get it back really quick. We blend really frequently so that things stay really, really fresh. Mm-hmm. There's probably a couple of tools more that I'm working on that you can expect to be in stock.
Cool. And then the Gerber knives, can you get those on Gerber's website as well?
Yeah, definitely. So we stock, my favorite is the Vital. It's a replaceable, especially if you're into hunting. It's basically a scalpel. So you replace the scalpel blades it. But it's great for competition barbecue as well because you can do that very, very precise trimming. So when you really want to square off your ribs or if there's that little bit that you need to just trim off, it's very, very sharp and very, very precise and thin and accurate.
And those are available on their site as well as your site, right?
Correct.
Is that hat newer than, is that a newer hat or am I going crazy?
Yeah, this is the newer one. This is the patch hat. We've gotten so much new stuff. We've gotten a lot of new merch and
Yeah, I need to
back
check
some
back
old
again.
t-shirts and kept some favorites. So yeah, take a look. There's I'm always trying to bring new stuff out too, because and it's so weird because it's stuff that, you know, it's like, oh, would I wear it? So it's a little selfish because if I don't wear it, I usually
Yeah.
don't add it, but I think these ones look good.
Well, that's cool. I'll have to look again because I had so many of your products, and it's funny because we had talked about how my avatar for Skype is I'm wearing the Hardcore Carnivore shirt that I
The
had,
t-shirt,
from
yeah.
many years ago, and it's dirty and frayed, and I need to kind of re-up on that again. So, well, thank you so much for taking the time and for doing everything you're doing for the meat world, because it's evolving and changing, and you've stayed on top of your passion, and I think that's important to get
Well, that's why I
people.
went back to school, right?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that lastly. Yeah, school, you're going, are
Oh,
you
God,
have
I'm
you
sorry.
have you started that? Yeah, that was like in my mind, that was like the first thing I wanted to talk about, other than you getting married.
Yes, I've started it. I know it was weird to me. Now I'm used to it, but it was weird to me when everyone was congratulating me on getting married, because I'm like, what did I do? I just found someone who was prepared to live with me for the rest of their lives. Like, is that such an achievement? But I guess it is. But yeah, I went back to school. I'm a grad student, a meat science grad student at Iowa State. It's all online, which is very convenient, particularly now. But I basically wanted to, there's a lot. One thing that I think I don't get enough credit for is I know a tremendous amount behind the scenes when it comes to beef and
You
meat.
do.
A lot of the how, why, a lot of the meat science. And there were two things that happened. One, I was kind of getting sick of asking all my meat science friends a lot of questions and wanted to actually understand the answers for myself. So I started seeking out a way without actually going all the way back to school, because that's a little bit disruptive. Just how can I find out more? So I've already started. I'm in my first semester, and I've already learned like so much. I sit there and I go, oh, I get it. And I hated science in high school. Like, I picked all humanities in the last year of high school. You can like choose, so you get a better, I guess that'd be an SAT score equivalent here. And now I'm having to go back and look at like molecules and how they
Yeah,
bind
I
and
don't.
pH levels. And I'm texting my mom going, can you believe that I am doing this? She's like, you hated that stuff. I'm like, I know, but it's fascinating now. So
It's
it's weird,
important to what
but
you're doing. It's so integral.
so, because you understand, like, now I can explain on a cellular level why brining works. We know it works, but I didn't really get it. And now I'm like, oh, I can trace it all the way back. That's cool.
And see, that's what, when I first had talked to you, and not that I'm not curious about it still, but I think I peppered you with a bunch of questions. I think you told me to get Kenji's book, and there was all these different things that, because I was so fat, because I still don't, I've delved so much into like the people of barbecue that I haven't gone into the science, and I think that's smart that you're going to class, because Texas A&M has all that stuff. There's a lot of things I want to do, and I think a lot of people do as well, but I think that I'm excited that you're doing it. Good for you. That's huge.
Thank you.
That's
Yeah,
exciting.
and it's pretty huge. It's pretty huge because I'll be, you know, much more a fish. I feel like not only do I get to learn new stuff, but it kind of, you know, it authenticates everything that I've
Without a
learned thus
doubt.
far as well.
And validates it within you too, because you know what you're saying
Yeah.
is the right thing. You'll hear a lot of people. Like, I'll hear like Nick Solaris, I'll hear him talk, and I'll be like, he knows, like I don't know this stuff. Like, there's things that people do know, and when you talk, it's like, okay, I need to go back to school. I definitely do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff as well that, like, I mean, this is a proper university certificate, university program. Like, I had to go through an admissions to get in, and it wasn't just a, you know, it wasn't just one of those courses where you can just pay and get in. So it's legit, and I'm
Nice.
excited to share what I've learned.
Do you think you'll be able to go get, like, will there be a ceremony if, like, say that COVID the fog goes away, will there be, or that it'll be an online ceremony, or will be, that'll be cool, like, if you could actually walk.
The least stage to go to Ames, Iowa. It's a certificate, not a degree, because, you know, 1 year sounded better than 3 to me, at least to begin with. But
Go visit at least.
I plan on it. Hopefully, it'll make it feel much more academic to me. So we'll
Definitely.
try.
Well, stay safe. Like, I know,
Thank you.
congrats again, even though you
Likewise.
don't need a congrats, but congrats again on getting married and going through a year. And it's exciting. It's wonderful for you, and then also on all your success, because, like I said, it's been 3 years since we spoke, and
Crazy.
Your product and your brand and your knowledge has grown so much. So thank you for taking the time again. And
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
And yeah, and we'll get a beer when this all settles.
That sounds good. That sounds good to me.
Everyone needs to go get beers or get food together. And no, at least get some food. We'll do something. But have a great week, and thank you so much. All right, take care.
You bet. Thanks.